Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, thank you again for being here on this Sunday morning, very special Sunday morning. I hope when you came in this morning, because at the very end of the service, we are going to be taking communion together. And I hope you were served as you came in this morning. You already received a communion packet. If you didn't, those packets are available there in the foyer. Our ushers have them. They would be glad to help you, and we will receive communion together at the very end of this service. It's going to be a very special time. Well, again, what a blessing it is to have you here, and I want to go ahead and just dive right on into the Word and get to moving, because that clock is moving. I truly believe this morning that the Lord has a word for us about how we can look at Memorial Day. We can look at some things that we've seen and learned throughout our history, but most of all through the Word of God, that how we can live a life to be remembered. Living a life to be remembered. How many of you want to live a life that will have impact, that will leave legacy? You want to do that, right? I mean, you want to live that life for your family, for generations that are coming up behind you. So we want to just make it our prayer today to live a life that will be remembered, a life to be remembered. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua. They're in the Old Testament, and to Joshua 4, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, Joshua 4. I want to just kind of lay the groundwork a little bit on before I read to you just a few verses. My personal Bible study has had me reading a little bit there in the Old Testament, New Testament, and I've just started in Joshua a few days back, and the Lord put a few things on my heart that I want to share with you today that we can learn from so we can live a life to be remembered. Now, in Joshua 4, if you read Joshua 3, and by the way, your homework this week, Joshua 1, Joshua 2, Joshua 3, Joshua 4. That's what you need to read. And that'll take you right up before the people of God take over Jericho. And so mark that down. That's your homework, Joshua 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to help you out a little bit today. So leading into Joshua 4, Moses, who had been leading the Israelites, who led them out of bondage in Egypt, Moses, their great deliverer, their great leader, he has died. Joshua has now taken leadership, and he is leading the people of God, and he's actually going to lead them into the promised land. Moses had a chance to see it, but he never went in. But Joshua is going to lead God's people into the promised land. And as he prepares to lead them into the promised land, they come to a place called the Jordan River. And the Jordan River at that time, the Bible says, is in its flood stage. And God gives a word to Joshua and gives him guidance and wisdom on how to cross the Jordan. And God tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, here's how you're going to cross this Jordan. It's in flood stage, but here's how you're going to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. He says, here's what I want you to do. He says, you're going to take the priest, and the priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and they're going to go into the river first. And I was thinking, wow, that's wonderful, preachers. And so when the priests go in with the Ark of the Lord, which represents the presence of God, when they go into the river, the Bible says that the water stops flowing and it backs up, and the people of God, they cross over to the promised land. And once everyone has crossed over, The priests, they come out of the riverbed, and when they come up out of the riverbed, the Bible says that the waters started back flowing again. And then the Lord tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, I want you to pick 12 men from each tribe, and I want you to make a memorial with 12 stones. And that might be why you see these stones, or some may call them rocks, on stage right here. Yesterday morning, my wife asked me, what you going to do today? I said, I'm going to go find me a rock. And I'm thinking, that didn't sound too good. Some of you will get that later on. Some of you won't, thank God. I said, I hadn't said that in a long time. I had to borrow these rocks. Just to let you know, the people that I borrowed them from, they're not aware they're borrowed. I will take them back this afternoon. My wife said, you can't get them rocks. I said, listen, I'm not, you are. I said, you go get them, and if anybody asks, tell them that the Lord needs them. No, we did it together, so if we go to jail, we'll be there together. Joshua 4, let me read to you verses 1 through 9. Listen to this, the word of God. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them with you, carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign or memorial among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what did these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day, talking about that day. And many scholars believe that was another set that actually Joshua did himself. And skip over to verse 24. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. What do these stones mean? Well, these stones are a memorial to remind us of who God is and what God can do. When we look at those stones, we are reminded of who God is and what he can do, but we're also reminded, as we're told here, that we might fear the Lord, not a fear like you're scared, but a reverence to God. In other words, it's a reverence that you have that will impact the way you live your life for Jesus, for the Lord. And so these stones are not only a reminder of who God is and what he can do, but these stones are also a reminder of how to live your life, how to live your life. The stones are a reminder, I will tell you, write it down if you want to, that these stones are a reminder to live your life with courage, to live your life with courage. The Bible says that the Jordan River was at flood stage, and the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord were called to walk in the waters first. And I'm sure that was very scary for them, knowing that the Jordan was at flood stage. We've seen our local rivers here over the years in flood stage, and we've seen the rushing waters, and we try to stay away from those flood waters. But these men of God, they were courageous, and they took steps of faith right into the Jordan River. And living with courageous faith, they took the first step that would open up the way for God to do the supernatural. You see, living in God's purpose is going to require courage. Living in God's will, living a life to be remembered, is going to require you to have courage. God's people are called to be courageous people, not to be fearful and not to be afraid. We are called to be courageous. You read through the Bible, I took the staff on Tuesday just through Joshua chapter 1, I believe it was, and maybe five or six times just from God to Joshua, he said to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And you can read that all through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, where the Lord is reminding his people to be strong and to be courageous. God's people are to live with courage. And these men of God, they had courage to trust God when nothing made sense around them. And I want to say this to you because, listen to me, courageous faith is willing to accept God's strategy even if it doesn't make sense. And that's the hard part for us sometimes. We're not willing to accept what God's strategy might be for him to carry out his will. But if you're going to have courageous faith, you're going to need it so you can accept God's strategy even when it doesn't make no sense. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we need to be reminded, I hope you all are aware of this, that every single one of us in here are on a spiritual journey. You're on a spiritual journey every day in your life, and you need to be reminded on that spiritual journey that it's going to require you to live with courageous faith, because there's going to be times in your life on that spiritual journey that you're going to find yourself standing on the edge of a Jordan River. You're going to find yourself standing on the edge of a Jordan River, a place, a circumstance that threatens you or it floods your heart with discouragement and doubt and hopelessness. There's those places that on our spiritual journey, we find ourselves at a Jordan River where we're threatened by the things that we see, and it can impact all of us, and it can keep you from getting to the other side into God's will. And I wonder this morning, as we look at the Jordan River, it was an obstacle for God's people. I wonder how many obstacles that you may be looking at in your life this morning. Things that you feel are about to sweep you away like floodwaters. Things in your life that will keep you from missing out what God's purpose is for your life. What are the obstacles that you're facing in your life that are keeping you from God's purpose? I want to say to you this morning, as the Holy Spirit put it upon me, to live your life with courage. And don't allow any obstacle, I don't care what it is, it may be threatening you and trying to flood you with discouragement and doubt and despair. No matter what it is that's trying to threaten you or flood you, that makes you feel like you're going to be swept away, you keep trusting God. You keep trusting God. Don't allow that obstacle to keep you out of what God's purpose is for your life. The Lord dropped this on my heart yesterday when I was praying over these scriptures, that if God has called you to it, and if God has called you to do it, then God is going to guide you and guard you through it. Amen. And he'll do that. Come on. Hey, God will do it. If he's called you to the edge of the Jordan River, if he's called you to do something and step out in faith, he's going to guide you. He's going to guard you through it. If he's called you to it, if he's called you to do it, he's going to guide you and guard you through it. And that you can trust, and you can believe the Lord. I think about these priests. They were called to it. They were called to do it. And they trusted God through it. And these priests had courageous faith. And I thought about, we need more courageous preachers today. We need more courageous preachers and pastors today, like the preachers and pastors who have paved the way for us over the years. I think about those that are in this room right now, like Pastor Jimmy Swenson, who is a courageous man of faith, a courageous preacher who has paved the way for us. I think about Pastor Rudolph Britt and his faithfulness to God and his courageous faith. I thank God for these two men. I thank God for others who have paved the way for us. Pastor Weaver, who founded the church. Pastor Doug Bartlett. Preacher Roy Jernigan. I could go on and on. Preachers and pastors over the years who have taken some very courageous steps of faith. They have dug wells that we're drinking from today. Hallelujah. And we need to remember them. And we need to thank God for them today. For those men and women who have had courageous faith. Can we do that right now? I thank God. I thank God for you, Pastor Jimmy Swenson. I thank God for you, Pastor Rudolph Britt, and others here. God, thank you for these men that have paved the way. And we give you glory for them. We remember them. These are men who have lived the life to be remembered with courage. And I thank you, Father, for using them and others along the way that have paved the way. And we thank you for these preachers. And God, we need more believers. We need more believers, more Christians. We need more courageous Christians today. I'm telling you, friend, it is sometimes, I'm talking about another PH church, not this one. To meet people that are followers of Christ that just feel so defeated and so fearful at times. When you got God on your side, have courage, have confidence that the Lord is with you. Don't walk around joyless and defeated and discouraged. You got the Lord on your side. And we need more courageous Christians like the people in this church who over the years have walked by great faith, courageous faith. I think about the men and women of this church in the past that have paved the way, who walked with courageous faith all the way from where this church was established on Williamson Street all the way to right here where it currently is on Ed Ebenson Road. And I thank God for those men and women who had faith, who trusted the Lord. Did you know this right here? That there was a day back in the day when this church was about to close down. Did you know that? Did you know that this church was about to close down? But because of courageous men and women in this church who believed God and trusted God and pressed on, we're here today on the other side, and we look back at the sacrifices that were made, the faith that was displayed in their life. We look back on the other side. We give God glory that we're a debt-free church right now. Souls are being saved. God is growing the church. And we look back and we say, thank you, thank you. Thank you for those that walk with courageous faith. I thank God for the early Mount Olive First PH Church. They lived a life with courageous faith. Many of them have passed on and gone on to glory. And some are still here right now in this gathering, in this church currently, and they're still trusting God with a courageous faith. And I thank God for them. I thank God for them that have made such an impact over the years and continue to trust God. They are living their life with courage. Are you living your life? Are you living your life with courage? Even in the flood stages, are you living your life with courage? The Bible says that these priests were in the middle of the Jordan. Are you living your life with courage when you're in the middle of something? I wonder how many of you walked in here this morning and you're in the middle of something. My word to you, friend, today is if you're in the middle of something, it may be something with relationships, it might be something financially, it might be something, a spiritual battle you're in. If you're in the middle of something, I just want to say this right here. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep the faith. Keep fighting. Keep praying. Keep moving forward with the Lord and watch what he'll do. Don't give up. Listen, have courage and trust the Lord. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult a season may be you're in right now, just keep trusting the Lord. No matter if you're in the middle of something, I can tell you God is with you. Just like the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was with those priests. You might be in the middle of something, but friend, he's right there with you. He's right there with you. And you can lean on him and call on him. I want to remind you that the stones are also a reminder to live your life in power. And what I mean by that is to live your life in the power of God. The Bible says that when the feet of these priests touched the water, that the waters were cut off. And they ended up crossing over on dry ground. You know, Moses had his Red Sea encounter, and now Joshua's got the Jordan River encounter, this experience. And the Bible says that they walked over on dry ground. And everyone crossed over the Jordan River. And when they got out of the river, the Bible says that the floodwaters started back again. What happened was that there in that moment, they experienced the power of God. I mean, sometimes we know about the power of God. We've read about the power of God. But I don't know about you, but I want to be right in the middle of the power of God. I want to experience the power of God. And they were right there in it, experiencing the power of God. The impossible was being made possible by God. And I love what Joshua said. Joshua was there in that encounter, in that experience. And he said, this was all done so the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And when I read that in the scriptures, it just took me to another favorite verse of mine, which is Psalm 77, 11 through 14, where the psalmist said this right here. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God with a little g is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. Amen. And what they saw there, what they experienced there, was the power of God. And I want to live. I hope you want to live in the power of God. Think about this. Those stones that were stacked up, 12 stones, when they were stacked up, the pagans of that day, when they would come by, the unbelievers, if they were to come by and see those stones stacked, all they saw were a pile of rocks. But when God's people looked at those stones, when God's people looked and saw those stones stacked up, you know what they saw? They saw a memorial that reminded them that the Lord is the Lord who goes before us. He's the Lord that fights our battles. He's the Lord who cares. He's the Lord who keeps his promises. When they looked at those stones, they knew that he's the Lord who protects us. He's the Lord who provides for us. He's the Lord who is all powerful. He is the Lord who is faithful. Even when life feels like it's about to sweep me away, I can trust the Lord. And when they looked at those stones, that reminded them of who God was and what God could do. And the Bible says that as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was moved through those waters, that the representing the presence of God, the power of God began to work, and the floodwaters were cut off. It cut off with the power of the Lord. He cut off the floodwaters. And I just want to say this to you this morning, whoever you are listening to me, that the Lord has the power to cut off things that seem to be threatening us. He has the power to cut off the things in your life that seem to be flooding you and trying to sweep you away. He has the power to cut off the things in your life, such as depression, fear, resentment, bitterness, prejudice, pride, shame, alcoholism, drug addiction, sickness, sin. God has the power to cut it off. Nothing is too hard for him. With God, all things are possible. Friend, hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. And he's the same. He's the same God. He's the same God. I think about that song we sing. He's the same God. The same God that walked with them through those floods, to come through that Jordan River and do that miracle, to cut it off, is the same God that can cut off what needs to be cut off in your life that's keeping you out of the purposes of God. And the Bible says that they carried When Joshua gave them the orders to go get those stones out of that riverbed, the Bible says they carried the stones on their shoulder. I'm trying to think which one of these is the lightest. They picked up the stone. These are not fake, by the way. This one here weighs 325 pounds. Coach Edwards, what you think? They put it on their shoulder. And they began to carry these stones. And when I thought about it, when I was reading that, the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, you know what? There's some of us that are carrying some heavy things in our life. Some of you got some heaviness in your life right now for whatever reason. Some of you are in some heavy seasons. And I just want to say to you that Jesus has the power to lift that heaviness off of you. He has the power to lift the heaviness off of you. In fact, Isaiah says that he will lift the spirit of heaviness and he will exchange it for a garment of praise. And some of you are walking around with this heaviness on you, and God has the power to take that thing and he can turn it around. I know it's heavy right now, but God can take it. And he has the power. It says they had to put it down. God has the power to help you to put it down. Whatever it is, put it down. It's the same thing as what we read in the New Testament. Put it down is the same thing as cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. It's the same thing. Put it down is the same thing as is just give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. And some of you are walking around and it's on your shoulder. Some of you got one on both shoulders, the heaviness of life, the heaviness of what you've been going through. And the Lord has the power to help you to put it down. He has the power to take the heaviness, the burdens, and turn them into blessings in your life. How many of you can testify to that right now? And listen, he'll do that. He'll do that to build your faith. He'll help you to put these things down. He'll help you to put it down so he can help build faith and build a testimony in your life. And you'll be able to walk by the stones in your life and you'll be able to declare, Lord, I can look right there at that stone and I remember that heaviness that I was going through. And I know, God, that I experienced your power and your goodness and your greatness during that time. You never failed me. I remember what it was like, but God, you were right there with me. Your presence was right there with me, God. And it was heavy and it was hard, but you built my faith up, God. And I got a testimony now, Lord. And the heaviness is gone. And there's a garment of praise now, Lord. And I give you all the glory, God, all the glory. And I want to say to you, friend, you got to keep looking back and you got to keep looking back and you got to look at the stones and don't be discouraged by it. And just remember and thank God and praise God for what he's done in your life. Yes, there were some heavy seasons along the way. I'm thinking about the heaviness that was there. I remember the heaviness of that stone right there, the heaviness of being in an addiction, the heaviness of being lost, the heaviness of being without purpose, the heaviness of depression. I remember the heaviness of anger, the heaviness of abuse. I remember that heaviness, but I also know, God, you showed up in that time and you restored me. You saved me. You set me free, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I praise you, Lord, that you build a testimony there, God. And I think about the different stones. I think about you come to another stone in your life. And Father, I can think right now. I remember carrying this heaviness, God. I remember the heaviness of a tragedy. I remember the heaviness of a suicide. I remember the heaviness of another tragedy. I remember the heaviness of another suicide. I remember the grief. I remember the hurt. I remember the anger, Lord. But you helped me put it down. You helped me put it down, Lord. And where weeping was for the night, joy came in the morning, and I give you glory, God. I give you glory, God. I remember these stones. I remember these stones, how heavy they were. Thinking about it, the suffering, shame, brokenness, trust being broken. But I know, God, you did something there in that place, God, that only you could do. And you gave me the power to put it down. You gave me the power, Lord, to put it down. It had been a weight on my life. But God, today I called on you, Jesus. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God, I thank God for that day that you gave me rest. Don't you ever forget what God has done in your life. Don't ever forget the stones along the way. And when you look back at them, thank God for what he's done. Thank God for what he's brought you through. Josh, do me a favor. Send me your oldest son up here. Hold my hand. God told Joshua, he said, there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day coming when there's going to be in the future where children are going to come along and they're going to ask you, what did these stones mean? What did these stones mean? And you'll be able to tell them. It'll be a display of the power of God, the powerful hand of the Lord. And you'll be able to take your children and your grandchildren and the next generation, and you'll be able to walk them to that stone. And you can say, let me tell you how hard and how heavy it was when I was there carrying that stone. But let me tell you something. God was faithful then. God is faithful now. And God will be faithful in the future. And that'll build up faith. And I want you to walk with me, and I want you to see this stone. Man, we were broken, we were hurting, we were suffering, but God showed up, and he was faithful then. He's faithful now. He'll be faithful forever, and it'll build up faith right here, and we'll keep right on walking, and we'll point to these stones, and we'll give God all the glory, and it's going to build up another generation of people that are trusting in God, believing in God. Thank you, son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget to look back. Don't be ashamed of the stones, because they built you up who you are. We got to move along. My heart is heavy right now for somebody that's in here that has walked through tragedy. Pastor Kevin, come on, brother. That's one of the heaviest things you can carry in your life, when all of a sudden just the lights go out and nothing makes sense. Please, whoever you are, don't give up. Don't think you got to figure it out going forward. Don't think you got to understand it. Just be willing to accept by the power of God that he is doing something that is beyond our comprehension. And he is faithful. He is faithful. He'll give you peace and he'll give you strength. Don't be ashamed of your stones. Look back and thank God for what he's done. For what he's done. You know, sometimes we want to remain silent. You know, I don't want to talk about that stone. No. I just want to keep carrying it. And it will rob you. It will rob you of your peace. It will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of your faith. And you know, I'm saying this to somebody here. You know, I'm just telling a testimony. You put it down, put it down. It's just heavy, put it down. I can't. But God can help you do it. God has the power. He'll be with the power of God. He'll give you the power, the strength to say, you know what? This thing is not meant for me to carry. I'm putting it down. I'm putting it down. I'm putting it down. I'm not going to be ashamed to talk about it. All I know is God met me there. He's taught me some things there. I've trusted him through it. And I've come out on the other side with a testimony of a greater faith in God. Come on, friend. Keep trusting Jesus. A life to be remembered will be lived in power. His power. And his grace will be sufficient to you. These stones that you see will be also a reminder of the sacrifice. You know, you think about memorials, you think about sacrifice. You go to Washington, D.C., you see those war memorials. Every name on that wall represents blood and sweat and tears of a man or a woman who sacrificed their life. And these priests, they stood there in that river sacrificing as a whole nation passed through. They were building something sacrificially. I wonder this morning what you're sacrificially building. A godly life, a godly family, a godly marriage. What are you building? It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. And today, on this Memorial Day, we celebrate and honor and remember the sacrifice of our soldiers of this great nation. But above all, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. 1 John 3:16 says this, "This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us as sacrifice." Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people." Jesus, the Son of God, came to be a sacrifice, the sacrifice for our sins, so our sins could be forgiven. And I don't know where you are spiritually on your journey this morning. You may be here and God is working, trying to convict you gently and tenderly that you need to get saved. I don't know where you are, but on this Memorial Day, I want you to do me a favor just for about the next few seconds. I want you to watch and I want you to listen to a great soldier in the army of God's kingdom who's gone on to glory, make a call and give a prayer for you to be saved, for you to be saved. That is God's purpose for your life, is for you to be saved, to know Jesus, that your sins are forgiven. I want you to watch as Preacher Roy Jernigan leads us in this prayer. And would you watch and would you listen?
Will you pray for us and lead us in a prayer?
Yes.
Let's pray together. And if you need to make that commitment to Christ, I want you to do it right now as we pray together.
If you never have, please do. I'm not talking about promising something. I'm talking about mean business. When I walk down that aisle, I meant business.
Yes.
I went to do business. I didn't just walk down to soothe my conscience. I went down to have a new life, and praise God, since I was 28 years old, I've had a new life, a glorious life.
Hallelujah.
Father.
Yes, God.
We come before the throne of grace again this morning through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you, my Father, for loving us so much, for loving me so much,
yes,
that you give your Son, your only begotten Son, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that if I would accept him, he would save me. Praise God, I met you.
Hallelujah.
I met you, Lord. I met you on my Damascus Road, and you saved me, Lord. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you again for the opportunity that you've given me for these nearly 60 years to do exactly what I'm doing today, giving a testimony of what Christ has done for me and what he'll do for others.
Would you bow your heads? Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone here today lost, I pray that they would make that decision to follow you. I can hear Preacher Roy now saying, "I never looked back." Friend, make the decision today and keep moving forward with Jesus. and bring Him glory. If you're here this morning and you need to make that decision to follow Christ, nobody's here to judge you. We just want to pray with you and encourage you and to make sure that you got peace with God, knowing that you're saved and that you're on your way to heaven. Nobody looking around, but if you're here this morning and you would like to have assurance and confidence to know that you're saved and you'd like for me to pray with you, would you do me a favor and be bold enough right now just to lift your hand and say, that's me, preacher. Pray with me. Pray with me right now. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. You can put your hand down. Ma'am, God sees your hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? Anybody? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Right there where you are, just make this your prayer. I admit to you, Jesus, that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you took my place on the cross. You shed your blood. I've heard the gospel proclaimed and prayed right now by Preacher Roy, and I've heard it here in this message today, God, and I know you're the sacrifice that was given for me. You laid down your life for me. I deserved it, but you died in my place and shed your blood. So I receive you now. I receive you now by faith to be my Savior, to be my Lord. And it's by grace. It's by grace, not by works that no man can boast, but only by the grace of God that we're saved. So I turn my life to you right now, Jesus. And I confess you as my Lord. And I declare that I will follow you and live for you in a way, Lord, that would honor you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, thank you for saving my soul. Make that your prayer. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. In the name of the Lord, we pray. And all of God's people said together with these that make this their prayer, amen, amen, amen. I want you to do me a favor. And we're going to receive communion together. Would you go ahead and just take out your communion packet? And I hope you've all been served. If you will, go ahead and peel back that top layer. You see, communion is a memorial. It is a memorial to remind us to look to the cross and remember the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he did the Last Supper with his disciples, he says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me, proclaiming my death until I come. And so communion is really a memorial. You know, you could just take about 5 seconds and just look down there at that cup with that bread wafer, and that is a sign, a reminder of the greatest sacrifice ever, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who gave his body, represented through the bread, gave his body, given for us in our place. I want you to do me a favor. Take that bread wafer out. And God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, and for this memorial today. Thank you for your body that was given for us. Given for us. You are the bread of life. And because of this, your body, we have eternal life. Friend, be reminded and remember the bread. Remember his body right now. Take the bread. You can go ahead and peel back to the juice. Thank you, Lord. And this cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I love what the Bible says, that in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins, forgives us of our sins? Drink the cup, please. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the cross that is the great memorial of your love, your sacrifice. Thank you that you gave your body on that cross. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood that our sins could be forgiven. Thank you, Lord, that we have new life in you. Thank you for our redemption. Thank you for rescuing us and restoring us. And Lord, thank you for your love and faithfulness. And we proclaim your death until you come, God. We can never say thank you enough for what you did for us on that cross. We praise you today, God. Come on, can you just praise him right there where you are? Just praise him. Look, think back. Think back when you gave your life to Jesus, whether it was years ago or even today. Just look back and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I look to the cross and I remember how messed up, how lost I was. Lord, I know how changed I am when I walked away from that cross of calling on you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Praise the Lord.